Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites!
Excelsior!
That's a good voice, right? Yeah. Welcome to our 17th... Alan, get out. Just leave.
Wow.
10 seconds in.
10 seconds in. I'm already getting it. Welcome to our 18th show of the year. 31 and all. We are the Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from the Danger Room, where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network, YouTube.com/PopcornTalkNetwork.com. You can also find us on the Popcorn Talk's website. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN. Find us on Facebook / Marvel News Show. Like us, enjoy us, comment, ask us questions. We do our best to answer you. And by the way, guys, if you'll tweet out a link to our show with a message telling people about the live chat to come and join us, Alexis in the booth will retweet you, won't you, Alexis? She's nodding her head. You can't see it, but we can. I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco at M Placco.
I'm Coy Jandro at Coy Jandro.
Alan Sizzler Kissler at Sizzler Kissler.
And we are joined by two very special guests today. We've got Master Damien Poitier. Hello, sir.
Hello. Thank you.
The Mad Titan himself.
Former
Mad Titan.
Now the OG.
Now the Angry Titan.
The Angry OG. Titan.
Yeah. The OT Titan.
And we've also got the good Lord Matthew McCall. Hello, sir.
Wow.
Hello.
Enchanted. Thank you.
Wait, are we supposed to shout out our...
I wanted to introduce you guys.
Okay, I didn't know.
And
this.
Now we go back to you. So
right.
Give me your Twitter. Give me everything that you want to give me.
I'm everywhere.
It's $10.
Ding. Everywhere. Twitter, Tumblr, Reddit. What do you call it?
The internet.
Facebook.
The Facebook?
On the internet.
Yeah, are you still on the MySpace?
I'm on the Facebook. I actually am on the MySpace.
No.
I don't ever go on the MySpace. Everything.
Do you have a band? Do you have a band on the MySpace called the Former Mad Titan? Or?
No, I have a band on the MySpace called The Droids You're Looking For. I'm just kidding.
Nice.
Somebody
awesome.
Take that band name and use it, please, because I don't know why.
Finally, the droid we're looking for.
We are the droids you're looking for. Come on.
That's really awesome. That is fantastic.
Look away.
Yeah, I love it.
Crunch it.
Happen.
So you played Thanos in the first movie, correct?
I did.
And that was enjoyable.
It was.
Yeah. Can you talk about that experience at all? Any?
Yeah, I've talked about it a lot, but we can do a little more.
So did Joss contact you because he was like, hey, this guy's got the face?
It was audition, you know, straight through the process, yeah. Normal way, and Joss was like, hey, I know him, let's use him. You know what I mean?
So that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yep. And then went in makeup. Nobody told me what I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah, we're just like, hey, you want to go in for some we can't tell you what it is, but you're going to go do something for Marvel, and you're not going to have any lines. And I'm like, they're like Marvel Avengers, and I'm like, yeah.
You know, I'm not an idiot.
And they're like prosthetics, and I'm like, awesome. You know, and I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm walking through the Ironhead Studios, and I'm looking around, because, you know, whenever you walk into a makeup studio, you always look around.
Stores.
Yeah, you're like, okay, what do you guys got going on? You know, this is going on. You're not going to talk about it, but you want to see it so you can know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when your friends say something, you go.
Yeah, I know. I already know.
So
you get through there, you know, so I'm walking through and actually see a sculpt of Thanos, and I'm like, that's so cool. Right? Because I'm thinking I'm Clurt.
I'm like, I'm Clurt.
I'm thinking I'm Super Scroll. Because, you know, at that point, we still thought there were Skrulls. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be Clurt. So I'm like, oh, cool, Thanos, right? So I walk in, we're doing the face cast and everything like that, and casting my arm, and they're like, yeah, and I'm like, I saw Thanos out there, that was cool, and they're like, yeah, and I'm like, and they're like, yeah, it's, and I'm
that's,
like, wait,
that's you.
Wait, what? No! And then I was like, okay, turn it down, don't fanboy out.
Don't be too eager.
Keep that guy.
Keep it together. And I was like, oh, that's cool, okay.
Okay.
I know who that is. I can do that character.
And inside, you're
briefly,
like,
as it were. But, so that was...
That's awesome.
But it was all practical effects on the makeup, right?
It was a practical application, but then they CGI bumped it up a little bit.
That's so really awesome. I think that's, you know, it held up really well.
And I think that's the best way to do it, too.
I love it. I'm such a huge fan of practical effects.
Use all the tools in the toolbox. sucks.
Yeah.
And what's funny is I thought I was going to be one of you guys when we both did Trek, because I went in thinking I was a Klingon.
Right. No, I was a Romulan.
No, but I know. But I went and I looked at all those effects, and I was like, got to be. There's no way they're going to do anything with Klingon. And then you ended up getting the Romulan, which I thought was I was going to turn into. And then we were just like this new thing. So yeah, when you go to a studio and you're like, when it's like, 6 hours in, you're like, maybe I'm this thing.
Right. I was like, oh, that's what I look like. Okay.
Now, Matthew, are in Tomorrowland.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
What can you? It's with Disney.
Yes.
So you know, from them,
we can confirm it is a Disney film.
Exactly. But what can you actually say about? Like, can you tell us about your role in it? Can you tell us anything?
Yeah. No, I can also confirm that I am in it.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Well, it's funny, you know, hearing you guys talk about just like what you are allowed to get when you go in for the audition versus what you don't get. It, more and more these days, you don't get anything, and you go in there and you get sides that are from a different show, and you don't even know basically what's going on, so you just use your creativity and come up with something, and hopefully they like it.
Yeah.
So for the longest time, like, I shot my days on the movie, and then for the longest time, everyone's like, oh, you must be so excited, this is going to be so cool. I'm like, if I make the cut, like, if it's still in the film, like, my character seemed like he was fairly central to the plot, but you know how they make movies these days is just like, you know what, we don't need that, we're gonna go with this story instead. So but I made the trailer, so I was like, okay, I think I'm in this movie. This is gonna be good.
That's really cool.
Just like really awesome. Damon Lindelof, Brad Bird both wrote it. If you're familiar with what they have done in the past, Prometheus, Star Trek 2, I don't know if you guys were in that.
did you
right?
I was in Darkness.
Wait, I was in one.
I thought we were bringing you guys back.
Uh-oh, Star Trek. Reboot fight.
Star Trek fight.
It was in Nibirans versus Romulus.
That's really rad.
And so, and so, like, if you look at basically what they've done before, Damon Lindelof also did Lost. So if you look at what they've done, there's a lot of recurrent themes in this film that I think smart people like yourselves might be able to figure out what's going on with the film before you go and see it.
Maybe.
Well, something I really appreciate about Disney is how they're branching out. You know, obviously they've got the Marvel properties where they have a lot of rich history to build on, but then, you know, they're trying to do these films that are based on theme park attractions. And I think that's fantastic because as a kid growing up in Florida, Tomorrowland was my jam. I love sci-fi. I love, you know, the idea of like the perfect future. And I'm actually really excited because I'm also a Clooney fangirl. So I'll just see anything he does. But I think, you know, the more I see from this film, the more the trailers reveal, I'm like, this is going to be a really fun, you know, almost in the way I view Jumanji from my youth. So
nice.
This is actually a heist.
John Favreau did that, right?
It's a heist film.
He's stealing tomorrow.
Yeah, he's stealing.
It gets way existential. Like Interstellar, Ocean's 11. We all knew that crossover was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just so natural.
Well, I'd like to point out that one of our fans online, GamerGirl2330, says Tomorrowland is the next movie she's planning on seeing.
So thank you, GamerGirl 2330.
It looks way fun.
It does look really cool, like the trailers. Yeah, yeah.
It's just going to be a huge family adventure, total blast, like literally an action ride.
Awesome.
You know? So yeah, it'll be great.
And Brad Bird, I mean, arguably The Incredibles is like the best superhero team movie that's been done. Like it's just so fantastic. It spans so many different ideas and audiences.
So palatable for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like that. Along with some of the Marvel films, we seem to be going into like more sort of high flying, optimistic, idealistic adventures. It's got that sort of Kennedy
flavor.
Yeah, it's got that like Kennedy space era feel to it. Yeah. And Tomorrowland was just like.
Have you noticed every time the economy is really bad, our future always looks super dystopian. Things start getting better in the future, but like. Is that a coincidence?
Or that people start realizing, wait, we're supposed to dream again.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if there's like an actual pulse.
I'm going to write that quote down.
Yeah, we're going to
throw
that.
Wait a second.
We should start to dream again.
Well, is there anything else? You're also on iZombie.
Yeah, I'm doing iZombie.
Yes. Good show.
Which just got picked up for a second season.
Yeah, I just found out this morning from Rahul Kohli's Twitter feed. So stoked for that. Can't say whether I'm in the second season or not. But yeah, really cool show. Again, you were talking about practical effects. They do a lot of really cool practical makeup on the show.
Nice.
I'm good friends with a makeup artist, and they were thinking of going more CG, but she just said, guys, I got this.
That's awesome.
And going in, like, you know, I was sitting in makeup, not that I was a zombie, but I was sitting in makeup sometimes for like 6-7 hours, but by the end of it, it looks sweet.
That's cool. Yeah.
And then the shoot day's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay.
I've got 30 minutes to shoot. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
And I've had 19 cups of coffee.
Yeah. Action and cut. You're right. Yeah.
Thanks. 4 hours of that.
Yeah, that was your shoot, wasn't it?
Right?
Pretty turn much. And look at the camera and done. Thank you for coming in, Damien.
What?
It's good to have you on the show. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank
welcome.
You.
Don't destroy us with the Infinity Gauntlet. And we're going to jump into the news. So first of all, to all of you fans at home, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about all the news. Then we're going to do spoilers for Age of Ultron at the very end. So those of you excited to hear us talk about spoilers, you're going to have to wait a little bit because we don't want to ruin the movie for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
I want to hear the spoilers because I'm a writer, and so I always like to watch a movie and go, okay, how would I do this?
Right.
And
I'm so
compare,
with you.
Compare it to what they do. So hearing these spoilers is going to be great.
So you're okay with the spoilers?
Oh, yeah. I've already got my hypotheses as to what has happened.
Okay, so running over to Sony and Marvel Studios. Do you guys like the Sony logo?
Oh,
that
cool.
Yeah.
Really
one of our fans made that. I forgot to write down who it is. But, I always like that. anyway, there's a director's short list out for Spider-Man. The directors are Jonathan Levine, who did 50-50 and Warm Bodies, Ted Melfi, who did the Bill Murray classic St. Vincent, Jason Moore, who did Pitch Perfect, John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein, who are currently working on the Vacation reboot, and Jared Hess, who did Napoleon Dynamite.
That's really telling because it's a lot of humor. I mean,
So in the same press release or the same news article that came out with this, they said the tone of what they're going for is like a John Hughes-like movie.
Yeah, they want that 80s throwback.
They want that 80s kind of throwback.
And coming-of-age comedy.
Every single year, they're planning on doing at least three, hopefully four, and every single year is going to be freshman, sophomore, junior, senior.
And you can already hear the soundtrack.
What's interesting is that we hired someone that was already good at that. Like, 500 Days of Summer, you look at Mark Webb, and you're like, we're going to have this movie, and then we didn't get that movie.
Yeah,
so they're like, let's have this short list of other directors that might get that movie.
But
so
not this
I think Marvel's going to get it right. I think they know what they
want
to do.
Marvel knows what they want,
So excited.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see who writes it, too. Because, directing will get the style, but the writing's really where
I really wanted Drew
Absolutely.
Goddard. I really thought it was going to go to Drew Goddard.
So did I.
And I really thought it would go to Kelly.
It still might, right? I mean, he's not...
He left so many projects to do Sinister Six, and now it's like, sorry,
never mind.
We left the property.
I'm not too familiar with the guys. I love St. Vincent. I thought Napoleon was great. I don't know if I want... Spider-Man, oh gosh, Osborn could shut up, Harry. Like, I don't know that I want that.
I'm only glad this movie's got some range.
Yeah,
you know, the director. He's not really just the only.
Thing.
Yeah, he's like, this is what I do, and if I'm not doing that,
if I get Flash Thompson, like Kip, like
right. No, I was just gonna say you do want Kip. Come on, you're just jealous.
Yeah. You're just jealous of my sweet movie.
I really love 50-50. I think M1 Bodies was great. It had every potential not to be.
Yeah, I think
a Romeo and Juliet movie with zombies should not on paper be.
Warm Bodies destroyed me with laughter.
I didn't see it. Was it good?
Yeah.
It was good?
Oh, yeah.
No, we're just saying this crap.
Yes, it was good.
Get out of here, Kissler. Get out!
I think that's my vote.
We're being paid right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Give it a watch.
All right. Well, I'll have to do that. So, anything else you guys want to talk about directors? You know anything? Nothing? We're good? We're moving on? Okay. Fox X-Men Apocalypse. First of all, we saw the Summer's parents revealed. We've got that picture up there.
They seem normal.
It's people who are parents. Who look like people that are parents.
Look at 80s period boys.
But they shouldn't be normal.
That's true. Well, one of them should become a space pirate.
It depends on how you're doing it. You know, if they may not be. And are these foster parents? Are they actual parents?
That's the thing.
There's so many different. You know, it's just you know.
I think they're just actors, guys.
I think they're actors acting like parents.
Let's talk about the fourth wall.
My hope is that they're foster parents, and that when we get another X-Men movie that's in the 90s, we get to see Corsair, full-on Corsair space opera 90s.
That is not a space.
Just messing that world up.
That's not the face of a space swashbuckler, okay?
Yeah.
It could be, though. You know what I mean? There's things that can be done.
Gerard Butler as...
Corsair.
Oh my god.
So I would want Paul F. Tompkins.
Get out.
Like, not because he's got the stash and he would just be so ridiculous.
Ray Stevenson is Corsair.
Ray you just Ray say that because you're in love with Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson. Yeah. Oh,
that's
dude.
Just, that's you.
So are you familiar with the X-Men, the Scott Sykes?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay, so Scott and Alex Summers are, their dad, like, the parents died in a plane crash.
So they thought. Yeah.
The mother actually did die, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the dad was abducted by aliens comics. Where he became a space pirate named Corsair, the leader of the Star Jammers.
Which is the least interesting pirate name you can have.
Corsair.
It literally means pirate.
Yeah. But he's in space. They don't know.
Yeah, you
know?
They don't know. You're right.
Yeah, if the name of the group is the Star Jammers, who's going to say no?
That's right.
Let's do it.
Star Jammers is a badass name.
I love Starjammers.
It's that extra level of ridiculousness.
Right.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I remember talking about the Starjammers and Corsair and Matt Cook giving me so much guff for that. He was like, you like the Starjammers?
I'm with Cook in this, dude. I think it's the best thing to happen to the X-Men.
I love the Starjammers.
It's like X-Men adjacent, though.
But
you know what I mean? I mean, it got into X-Men, but it's adjacent.
Adjacent kept getting into it, and then it just
a little bit more,
me.
Yeah.
Like, the 80s, I felt like it just kept derailing. It's a good
I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
when there's too much alien stuff in X-Men, it becomes Star Trek, and Star Trek's great, but it's not X-Men.
It's not X-Men.
X-Men's supposed to be the underdogs.
I think what they're doing with, well, in the, it just wrapped, but with Guardians and Starjammers and Black Vortex, that was a really good use of them. If you guys have caught any of that, it's really
good. I missed one of the issues, so I haven't started reading it yet, because I'm in the same boat. I can't figure out which issue I missed. So, like, because I haven't organized my comics in forever, because work, life, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, so which issue did I miss? I would like to know so I can go pick it up, so I can go back and read it, but I can't, because I don't know.
Secret Wars is going to do that to me for the next 4 months, and I'm so scared. Like, Secret Wars just not knowing what's happening, because every new title and every old title ending, like, it's just going to be like...
In May, May's going to be crazy.
Secret Wars dropped yesterday.
No, I know. I still haven't picked it up.
I got to pick it up this afternoon. As soon as this is done, we're heading east to get comics. As soon as it's over.
You guys are going to skip over holding hands and give us our comics.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's all that we've got on the X-Men currently. But there's also the Rogue Cut of Days of Future Past is scheduled to come out on July 14th.
Rogue Cut. Anna Paquin or something. She's like, curse! And she's like, make a Rogue Cut. And he's like, we'll just make a Rogue Cut. We're so sorry.
Guys, she has fans. She was in True Blood. What do we do?
Yeah, what do we do?
We make a Rogue Cut specifically for the True Blood
movie
fans.
In the 90s. Fly Away Home with,
No one remembers
that.
Let's
bring up the piano
while we're at it.
Just saying, it's the thing that happened.
But Buffalo Soldiers
just saw that too. She's great in that.
Almost Famous. Yeah. I enjoyed
just
Almost Famous.
Drop an Anna Paquin IMDb.
But it's going to be 17 extra minutes also. All special effects. It's like an actual director's cut. So that's exciting.
Not an actual director's cut.
Did you guys see that picture of Ty Sheridan and Lucas Till hanging out?
No.
There's a picture of them. They went to a hockey game, and Lucas has a Till jersey and he has a Sheridan jersey, and it's like the Summers Bros broing out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked.
That's really awesome.
I just have to interject real quick. So I did the Mad Max press junket. Nicholas Hoult was there.
Yeah.
And he is such a funny, sweet guy. He was so endearing. I'm like, I always loved these, but now I like him extra more because you're so adorable. So I'm super, super sad about that.
Yeah, he's only got one more.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Really love my day. Mad Max looks good.
Yeah, can't wait.
It's a set that where I was in South Africa, they filmed Mad Max, so I got to see a lot of the cars at Burning Man. A lot of the cars from Mad Max were at Burning Man, so I got to see them in real. Yeah, oh yeah, every time.
There's a Burning Man South Africa.
Yeah,
he was at last week.
What? I just saw him 12 hours ago.
But then here, while he was in South Africa, he joined the chat room for this webcast here last week,
sending all the spoilers in.
Yeah,
right. Sure. Way to go, Koi.
And then I flew in and made it back. But yeah, no, I got to go to Burning Man where the Mad Max cars were just driving around. They looked like art cars, so it was just like it was crazy.
I'm not saying it's going to be the best film of the summer, but I saw it the same day of Age of Ultron, and that was really tough. But Mad Max came out on top for me.
Tomorrowland. Excuse me, guys.
You've got the Tomorrowland.
When does Tomorrowland come out?
May 22.
Oh, that is a summer film.
It is
slightly different
President's
of tomorrow.
Day weekend.
Presidents of Tomorrow?
A slightly different vision of tomorrow.
Yeah, the actual hopeful one.
Yeah, The one I would not mind living in.
Wait, Mad Max or Tomorrowland?
Yeah, I don't want
to
live in
Mad Max. Oh, yeah, right.
So wait, isn't there some sinister overtone to Tomorrowland or something? Like, you can't...
Well, there's going to be.
So, how do you know you want to live there?
There's a sinister overtone because it's Disney.
But how do you want to live there?
But that's, I mean, you have to have, in Utopia, you've got to have that drama for the tension.
Right, for the entertainment value.
But that's interesting, though, that you guys
point... Small World is terrifying.
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, as pointed out by the Simpsons episode.
Yeah.
Where Lisa goes crazy.
Just saying Disney.
No, I was just going to say, it was interesting though that you guys pointed out that Mad Max, obviously dystopian. It will be interesting to see how this dystopia versus utopian film does well and what that will say about what's going on these days.
Is utopia really utopian or is utopia dystopian and is dystopian really... You know what I mean?
You just...
Mad Max is back down to survival, you know, fits, yada yada. That's kind of...
You are breaking up the reality.
Just saying, man. You know,
and the Burning Man reality of living in villages and stuff was very
cool.
Burning Man.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty amazing. Oh, wow. Apocalypse. I'm really curious how they tie in that reality, like with the tone they've set with Bryan Singer's universe, like where it goes. Because the pictures they released are very like 80s happy mall. I'm really curious what the tone of this is going to be.
Seems like it's all going to go very bad very quickly.
Hopefully,
yeah.
And Wolverine today they just announced that Hugh Jackman's
three. Yep.
Three is his last thing.
Not even in Apocalypse?
They said that he didn't confirm he was, so it's really interesting how that...
But it says it's his last thing, so if he's already in it, then he would be, but if he's not, then he... I guess that's...
Just on the existential topics here.
I haven't had much sleep.
You're taking a lot of zen in the car right here.
We're getting deep here. Yeah. I like it.
So, jumping over, it's not real Netflix news, but it would fall under Netflix if it were to ever happen.
Which would be awesome.
Tom Hardy wants to be Punisher.
Yes.
Yes, please give it to him. Just here.
Look at the picture.
I am Punisher.
Look at this.
You are going to be punished. Do you think your punishment is severe?
All about it.
Here's my bother. As a tall person, he's already admitted he's 5'9". He's too short to play Punisher. Yeah. So as a tall person, I'm like, don't do that to me!
Don't be so heightist, man. Come on.
Tom Hardy fan, you sing.
But as a Tom Hardy fan, I'm like, but he would kill it.
Yeah. I'm like, you just refer to being short as admitting to being 5'9".
Right.
He's like,
I'm 5'9", I know the Punisher is tall.
But so, Frank Castle. He mentioned, like, you, how much of a
the thing, like as a tall actor, I'm like, yeah, oh cool, you know, this is character supposed to be really big, and they're like, how tall are you? It's like 8 feet tall. I'm only 6'4". How am I too tall to play that character? You know, it's like, come on, guys.
And Tom Cruise, Jack Reacher. How do they do?
Right? Yeah.
5'7" Tom Cruise playing 6'4" Jack Reacher.
Don't talk to me about that.
So it's not that I'm offended by smaller people. It's just that.
That's a hashtag. That is a hashtag.
That's a new one.
Hashtag not offended by smaller people.
Yeah.
But when stuff's supposed to be bigger and it's not, and then I'm not working.
Right.
I think that he has the pathos to like make Punisher a very approachable. Even if he just cameos in the Netflix shows, if they can't have the time to schedule him, I think I'd rather have him pop into Netflix shows than have him.
I would love to see him roll into Daredevil and just like. In like a little 3-episode arc,
he takes a shot at Spider-Man and leaves. If I have 30 seconds of Punisher as Tom Hardy, I'm like, that was better than I could have. Like, that's
like the cover from his first appearance. Yeah. Like,
what if we just had a photo campaign like Deadpool of Tom Hardy as Punisher? I'd be okay with that too.
I would be. Hey, Marvel movie news fans, you should do that. Get on that, Merry Marvelites.
I like how he's walked away from Apocalypse and Suicide Squad, but now he's like, you know, it'd be great.
Punisher.
Yeah.
Give me Frank Castle.
He didn't really walk away. Wasn't there scheduling conflicts on both?
It was scheduling conflicts. But he still walked away.
You know,
that's a rather hard thing he couldn't do.
Right. Exactly.
But now he's lobbying for, which I appreciate.
Right. He's like, look, I missed that. Give me something.
Let me do this, and
I can do this, and I'll do this properly because he would do it properly.
Jumping over to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. real fast, we unfortunately don't really have a lot of time to cover S.H.I.E.L.D. as much as we'd like to, but lucky for you, AfterBuzz, our sister network, does have an in-depth breakdown every week for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all your other favorite shows. You can watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show by clicking on that link in the video's description to fill all of your mini-Mary Marvelite Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cravings. These guys know their stuff, and so definitely check that out. It's a great show. But real quick, I just wanted to point out that in this week's show, you've got to start watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I haven't seen this week's yet. I just realized I have not watched it.
You haven't?
Oh.
No, but go ahead.
Okay. Are you caught up? Like, do you watch it every week?
I've watched everything except for this week.
They said the I word.
No, they did. I know.
Yeah, they said the I word.
I know. They said Inhumans in this week's episode.
Oh, my. But I was going in so many places. Like, what?
I love you word?
What was that?
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, guys.
Spoiler alert.
Sub is going down.
Right. Yeah, you kind
of. But no, seriously, like, if you're not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., please start watching it, because it really has, I feel like, it's redeemed itself from its first
half. I'm still a little burnt. I gotta be honest
with you.
I'm watching the show. Yeah. And just that original few episodes before the Cap reveal was just
so bad.
I was just not bad, I work with these people. I know these people. I love these people. And I wanted to see what these people do. And I wasn't getting that.
Yeah.
I feel like I wasn't getting what they do. And it was kind of, you know, they found out episode two. Oh, wow, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I just kind of feel like it ended up so hard.
It's just spinning its wheels.
Yes. Yeah. So by the time it actually started, you were just like, so I watch it, and I like it, and I want to love it, and I'm not quite there yet. I'm trying to get myself in my head.
I'm with you.
Trying to fall in love with it.
But what I love about it is that they get to do stuff with Coulson,
yes,
like where they're like, oh, here's what Operation Theta was, and then you get like a little bit more background on how Fury did his stuff.
Season two, they need to stop playing around and just make it Marvel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
get in there and stop kind
but,
of like...
But, you know, I think that's...
It's like a step-cousin right now. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, make it...
I think that's a lot to do with ABC, right. And I think it's a lot to do with Feige trying to keep the Marvel Cinematic Universe
kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
Like Netflix really embraced it, so I feel like it might be a little Disney ABC.
I think it's more
Netflix
ABC. Yeah,
they need to get over that and let it be what it's going to be.
And hold on, because Agent Carter was completely entrenched in the MCU. I mean, that was
that wasn't happening concurrently, and it was a parents thing, and it was kind of.
But I'm just saying that they can do if they can do for Agent Carter, they should do it for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's what it needs to be, and then I'd be wholeheartedly watching because Daredevil, like, I took 2 days. It was done. Like, it was incredible.
I at least had this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on in the background, which at least I didn't actively watch it. That's more than I've had in the past couple of weeks. So we're getting there.
Yeah.
I saw a comment on here that Soups One says Whedon said Coulson is still dead in the movies. Yes, he is. He is still dead in the movies because the team needed that
to sort of avenge.
Otherwise, there's no one to avenge.
But
it's not like anyone else is getting hurt.
But I think that he's.
Shall we call ourselves the City Destroyers?
The City Destroyers.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of damage.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll wait until the spoiler section is
at least they were trying to save the people.
No. Oh, I'm so with you on that page. Absolutely.
What page? I didn't hear it.
At least they're actually.
At least they're like
people.
Acknowledging that civilians are in danger.
Right. Yeah. That is true.
This is something
true.
Like this bad stuff is happening because of us.
Oh yeah,
we'll put people in danger.
And we'll get to that. We'll get there. Because I'm so with you. Yes.
So anyway, that's all for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to jump to Marvel. We're going to talk about the Marvel news, and we're going to get to the Age of Ultron stuff. So, Captain America, Civil War, big announcements today
that
for that. So, production starts today. They're in Atlanta doing Pinewood Studios there, but then they're moving on to other locations like Germany, Puerto Rico, and Iceland.
Oh my God.
The old Puerto Rican Civil War.
Yeah, well, the olden days. Surprisingly, growing up in Miami, it is kind of really, like, they're very pro becoming part of America and not. So they're actually...
Oh, very cool,
yeah.
Very cool.
There's a little bit of real life history for you guys. Dropping the H-bomb. Wait, that sounds bad.
No. I think that was the Bikini Atoll. I don't think they dropped the A-bomb. Puerto Rico. H-bomb.
History, not
the hydrogen bomb. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Also, they released a cast list, which is basically the Avengers minus Thor and Hulk, but plus Paul Rudd as Ant-Man and William Hurt as Thunderbolt Ross.
Yes. And that means we finally have the continuity tie-in from Incredible Hulk.
I know. Yeah, it's the first time. It's the first time we've had that continuity.
They literally reference it like that thing.
Yeah, you know, the thing that happened.
But then there's another Thunderbolt Ross on Agents.
No, there's not.
Wait.
You're thinking Talbot.
Talbot!
Yeah, Talbot.
Wow, did I really just do that?
It's cool, man. Thunderbolt and Talbot work all the time together.
And Talbot is the voice of Iron Man in all the cartoons. That actor.
Yeah.
Wow, that
you can hear it. You can hear it.
What's his name there? Hobbit.
Oh,
that's right.
The cast is huge. And it's Avengers 2.5.
It really is.
No, that's really what it is. This
it's the same way that Infinity War minus
prologue.
Prologue kind of.
In the same way that Batman v Superman is really, we're almost a Justice League. It's sort of an Avengers sequel.
About to be some Justice League.
With Dr. Watson.
With Dr. Watson, yes.
Ant-Man an even weirder place to be in, because it's like we went from Avengers to Ant-Man to Avengers again.
Yeah.
Like, what's that gonna feel like?
But I'm excited to see like Ant-Man with the Avengers. I think that's really cool.
I'm excited to see him with the Avengers. I'm just worried about seeing him without the Avengers. I'm just worried about that solo Ant-Man movie after all of the spectacle of Avengers leading up to another Avengers.
You know,
have a movie about a little guy.
Or maybe he's been there all along. You just couldn't see him.
Running around.
Yeah.
I need that breath though, because I'm kind of like spectacles. I'm kind of like a little.
No.
You know, I need the breath of
it. I definitely have some,
like, whoa, there's a lot of spectacle happening.
So, a lot of people were tweeting
out
today.
So, no spectacle in that, man. Good to know.
a lot of people were saying that a script leak has already happened with
Civil War.
Which is interesting, because if any of it's true, it's gonna shape up very differently from the comics. But I think it's gonna be awesome.
I mean, they built the MCU so differently from the comics, so it has to be.
Yeah, which is
its
fine.
Which yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, you know, MCU is
a lot more freedom, and it's working great.
Yeah.
Yeah, So Evans earlier this week said that Civil War is going to jump off into the next Avengers Infinity War. So Cap 3 is kind of going to be the setup for the real battle Infinity War. So
2.5.
It's the bridge. That'd be a one shot. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like,
it's a giant
annual.
By the way, this all happened. Carry on.
That's actually really awesome, because you know, you think about Civil War in the comic term of how overarching it was, but for it to just be a lead-in for an Infinity War is actually really smart move on their part, because they're going to tell
Infinity War huge.
Yeah, it really does.
It's like, hey, there's
war is like a little bit.
Yeah,
it's like there's war, and then there's going to be war.
Yeah,
Infinity.
It's like lowercase war.
Uppercase. The spectacle of Infinity War. I mean, it's already a 2-part movie. They already got all that, and now that the Russo brothers and the writing team are on Cap and Infinity War,
they
can make that also.
And the other news is that the entirety of both Infinity War films is going to be filmed in IMAX.
Yes,
not just select sequences.
Yes.
The whole shebang.
Best
all
news.
IMAX.
That's going to be insane. I'm so excited.
Like,
I walked out of that movie shaking just like so much.
Stimuli!
I walked out of that way with Age of Ultron. I was just like...
I'm seriously feel like I'm kind of a little PTSD with all the spectacle.
When we get to Avengers, that'll
be fine. You just need to go home and watch Lebowski and relax.
Exactly. Give me a good romantic comedy.
Okay,
all
right.
12 dresses.
I have a question.
27 dresses, whatever.
So, we have Sherlock as Doctor Strange, and we have Watson now cast. When do we think the fan fiction and fan art is going to come out?
Oh, it's already started.
6 hours
ago. It's already started, but as soon as they release which character it's going to be, it's really going to get
Who do you think he's going to be? Who do you think Freeman's going to be cast as?
We heard a rumor earlier that it's Everett Ross, was in Black Panther. You were telling me a little bit about Everett.
Christopher Priest made him up, and he was a great character. He was basically a liaison to the Wakandan embassy, who is this, like, mousy guy who always felt out of his element, tried to seem tough, was clearly not tough at all. And it's like, as soon as I heard that name, like, oh yeah, Freeman.
Martin Freeman.
Yeah. The very first panel you ever see of Everett Ross in Black Panther number one is him without his pants, curled up on a toilet with a gun pointed at a rat.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, that kind of lets you know where he's at.
That is if you can't see Martin Freeman doing it, like, that's gonna I think Everett Ross is pretty much a big nail on the head for who he's playing.
Because
he's also
before,
a Wakandan expert.
Yeah, I was all about, well,
he becomes an expert.
He went to pick up the Black Panther in a Miata, and it was like 50 people, and he was like,
he didn't understand the entourage that comes with the child.
Okay, if we can get a Coming to America spoof scene with that, I'd be very happy.
Oh my god.
That'd be amazing.
I would watch the hell out of that.
I'm so excited.
We will go to quiz.
After Avengers, Black Panther's gonna be incredible. Those scenes.
Someone on the live stream, I just missed it, but I saw them say that Martin Freeman is going to be an interrogator, according to Latino Review. Latino Review is the one where I got Everett Ross, and Everett Ross becomes like an interrogator slash expert on the
Wakanda. You know, bump his character up, make him a little more serious, and then back
well, and
him down.
And the rumor is also that he's going to be in Black Panther.
Right.
So,
well, if he's Everett Ross, he's...
They could have to be. Otherwise,
what's the point of making Everett Ross and not
putting him in? The rumor is he's also a space alien, and the rumor also...
Who is the space alien?
I just... No, it's just all the rumors.
It's just all rumors. We just get excited about him. Also, Ant-Man poster was released. I think we've got that. There it is. I like that poster a lot. I think it looks really good.
It looks like a Fantastic Four press photo. Look at everybody looking in the middle distance.
Oh my god.
Look at everyone staring almost at something.
Right.
Well, maybe the same poster company.
I do like that there's a little Ant-Man on top of the Marvel seal.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. And that they're trying to tell you at the top, like from the studio that brought you Guardians, it's sort of like, it's fun.
Yeah, this was fun. And this is going to be fun too.
It's funny.
But I do think that's an interesting thing to point out, that it's not from the studio that brought you Age of Ultron or the Avengers. It's
right,
Guardians.
It's Guardians. Yeah. Like, they're telling you, like, hey, remember Hooked on a Feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get hooked on a feeling with this one, too.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Feelings everywhere. It's going to be great.
You know, I was actually kind of surprised that Ant-Man wasn't referenced at all in any way in Age of Ultron, because...
They knew it was happening.
Exactly. They know it's coming out. Like, they didn't reference it at all.
Maybe it's in a 3-hour, 15-minute cut.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I want to see, because that was one of my biggest issues to what we're going to talk about, was how it felt.
So, anyway, that is all the news. Now we're going to get into Age of Ultron talk. If you do not want to listen to the spoilers, this
spoilers
is the time to turn us off. We will say a good day to you.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Massive spoiler alert! All right, we get it. All right, okay. Go. Talk. Go. Just go.
I think Iron Man has to die in this movie. I haven't seen it, so I'm sure
like
but he's got to die. He's got to die.
Let's talk about what should have happened and didn't.
Yeah. All
right? So Spider-Man not showing up. That,
so disappointed.
You
saw that though. Joss was like, wait, what? You know, he's already got a picture lock, and then
in all seriousness, I get it.
Right.
What's that fanboy thing?
I'm sorry, I was outside. I was into the realism. You're in fanboy. Let me step into that. I'm comfortable there.
You know, I also want to see Adam Warlock. Like, you know, I'm just like, where's some of my boys?
Well, the cocoon.
The cocoon. We saw the cocoon. Then we saw Guardian hatched. So
yeah,
but here's the thing.
He's out there somewhere.
It was already a really crowded movie.
Oh yeah, no. In all seriousness, of course. Yeah, and I would have liked. In all seriousness, I would have liked maybe a minute and a half less Hulk versus Iron Man, and a minute and a half less fighting here, and had just a little bit more with some of the character interactions that were happening. Because a lot of that was really good, and then some of it fell a little bit short to me or rushed.
Yeah, that my biggest complaint with Age of Ultron, and I've had to come back and like watch it a couple times and reevaluate. It really was like, well, we got great Banner, we got great Hawkeye, we got amazing Natasha.
Owed it to Hawkeye, by the way. They really owed it to Hawkeye.
Yeah, he really needed that. But I felt Tony felt really forced, and Tony tends to be like RDJ as Tony Stark is one of my favorite characterizations, and just the way that he made the mistake. Screwed the world. And he's like, you know what? Without any hesitation, I'm just going to go do this again.
You got to give you know a little bit to the strength of the fact that he just came off being PTSD'd, and she gave him a horrific vision, and it's like it's your fault. And the way Tony is, he's so driven that he's like, I am going to make sure this doesn't happen. It doesn't matter if I keep making mistakes.
I just wish I could have seen a little bit more of that. That's all.
It was just even said how Iron Man got his suit back. It was so thrown together that Iron Man 3, he's like, I don't have a suit anymore.
He made a grand gesture,
and then he's like, you know what? I made a gesture.
Yeah.
So let's make
sense. That's surprised the whole movie for me. I always felt like they were hinting at something instead of saying something. Like,
yeah.
They're like, Jane Foster can't be here. One line of dialogue. Like, this
really
And the whole thing. But hey, at least they got mentions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, in Avengers, a bunch of these characters didn't even mention.
Ultron felt like really forced to me. That him having a sense of humor really felt off. Like, there was these amazing dramatic scenes, and he'd make a joke, and I'd be like, one, not funny. Two, felt out of place. Like, it just...
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, that was a mix. Some jokes, I think, landed. Yeah. And I've always liked it in the comics. Ultron isn't just evil, logical robot. Mm-hmm. He has a personality.
Right.
Yeah,
he's really angry. And so I thought that was fun. Like, giving him a bit of a charm. I was actually down with that. I thought it made him creepier. But there were times... And this happens in a lot of movies in general, where it's like,
they want to have that joke, even if it doesn't make for sense for the character to make it in that scene. Right. It didn't just happen with Ultron. There were a couple parts where, like, Rhodey made a joke when people were getting on Tony about why he made Ultron in the first place, and Rhodey made a joke. It's like, would you really make a joke right now? Like, aren't you still worried about the nuclear codes?
let me go back in defense of Ultron, is that in this film, they made him, he is the worst of Tony Stark. He is all the bad jokes, the megalomania, all the things that Tony could be, and
he should have been falling down drunk then.
He should have been.
Right?
I think
had a harem of babes around him the entire time, which is also must be in the film, right?
Right.
You're going to love the Ultron.
Ultron's making like Jocasta and Elkima over here.
And did you catch the Jocasta reference?
That was really cool.
But yeah, so that's how I viewed Ultron, but it was James Spader playing James Spader, and he does it great. And he does, you know, if you can wrap your head around that, and the way I was able to like Ultron, I was like, oh, this is all the things that we are supposed to hate about Tony, and that worked for me. But but overall, I can say I felt a little bit everywhere was forced.
Yeah. Well, also, and Whedon had said before, because mm-hmm. people said, well, wait, at the end of Iron Man 3, he destroyed all his armors and made a show mm-hmm. that he was going to focus on being Tony Stark and not on being Iron Man.
Yeah.
So what happened? And they asked if that was going to be addressed, and Joss said, was like, I mean, we're already going into filming and everything. I mean, just assume he didn't blow up all his armors, mm-hmm. or he realized he needed to build a couple new ones later or something. And which they sort of set up that after S.H.I.E.L.D.'s collapse, this is why the team has gotten back together. They're doing all these raids on Hydra. Mm-hmm. So I do wish there had been an extra line of, you know.
I just wanted one line.
You're the guy who retired. Like, well, yeah, until you guys were destroyed S.H.I.E.L.D.
I feel like he made the drones, and then the drones were doing it, and he was like, the drones aren't quite enough. I want to
get this.
And then S.H.I.E.L.D. fell apart. Yeah, I mean,
The fact that we have to figure this out and we all have our theories is part of the weakness of that part.
And it could have been addressed in a single line.
Yeah.
I felt like everything was almost put together, but there were so many scenes they had to cut, or the studio made Joss cut, and the whole movie felt like a hodgepodge. Like, especially after.
I don't know that the
so much
movie
better.
Did, but like
lot,
there, were,
yeah.
there were portions
Cat 2
of it. Yeah.
Was incredible. Guardians mm-hmm. was wonky and incredible. Like Phase 2 was so consistent, and Daredevil set the bar so high that Avengers felt like. Remember, I said Ant-Man felt like a Phase 1 trailer.
Yeah.
Avengers felt more Phase 1 than Phase 2, and Avengers 1 was the culmination of all the best of Phase 1. This didn't feel like the culmination of all the best of Phase 2.
That makes sense.
It kind of pieced together parts of Phase 1 again, and that just wasn't what I wanted out of Avengers 2.
Well, but you know, like, it's an impossible task that they're up against, because, like, Avengers was so good,
mm-hmm.
and now they have to top Avengers. They have to top Avengers in a way that's completely different, otherwise, like, suffering from the sequel syndrome.
Right.
And they've got to introduce new characters because of the studio mandates and whatever else they're mm-hmm. pushing for, like, Phase 3.
Yeah.
It's just like, how do you...
And
that's why Joss walked away. He's like, you know what? You guys
I'm out. The problems that are there, because there are... And I enjoyed the movie, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not hating on this.
Mm-mm.
Like, the fact that kids and like, my parents will now know who the Vision is really? Really?
I thought I silenced
it. It's
Ultron. It wasn't me this time, guys. It wasn't me.
We blame Alan when that happens. Alan,
I thought it was going to be me.
Everyone panicked.
But no, I think it's... I mean, this was meant to be a summer blockbuster with a lot of fun heroes doing cool things. We got that. We got kids dressing up now as Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. That's freaking amazing.
That's amazing.
You got the Vision... like being known to people who aren't major comic book nerds, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, the problems are there, like pacing, some character dynamics, and a couple little plot holes, mm-hmm. and so much that is set up for Phase 3 movies. But it's a studio. It's not just Joss directing and writing in a vacuum. It's the studio saying you got to do this,
and
you got to do that,
and you kind of got to, you know, I mean, Avengers was the culmination of so much.
Yeah.
You know, this is like
and
trying
the perfect
to
culmination.
Yeah, it's
like
perfect. So it's like we're trying to reculminate, and it's kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. okay, how do you really got to flip that, and it's got to be very daring if you're going to completely flip that and make it different. And I don't think you can have that kind of freedom in the studio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
studio
no
level.
You're
know,
yeah,
so,
oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're like you're going to give us what we want. And he's like, well, yeah, let me get in. You're going to give us what
well,
we want.
This
yeah,
happens,
so.
And you see this in superhero comic books all the time. Like when no one was reading X-Men. Chris Claremont was allowed to do whatever the heck he wanted.
Right.
So he made this new team with Wolverine and not just him,
and
but like Dave Cockrum and Len Wein. And they all put in like Wolverine and Storm and everyone. And then once it got popular again, Marvel's like, okay, well, we got to take some control over this.
Right. Yeah.
I think that the problem, like, Joss has talked about so many scenes that he wanted to have in there or had have in there that he had to cut. Like, I love the Thor Vision scene. I thought it was incredible. Yeah. A lot of people don't because I feel like it felt like they just threw it in. But if it didn't feel tacked on, it would have been amazing. Like, it had such ties to Ragnarok. And, like, I feel like that was part of the problem.
And again, that's part of the pacing and part of the setup. Like, you're setting up future movies, but you're not setting up all the stuff that actually happened in this movie.
They were trying to live in the past, the present, and the future, and I think that was its issue.
Yeah, and like, after a lot of these movies, I'll have friends texting me, like, oh, so explain to me this person, who this person is in the comics. And in this case, like, someone was asking me, so who's the Vision? And I turn around, who do you think the Vision is? Like, based on this movie, explain to me the Vision. And they really weren't sure how the Vision was created. Is he Jarvis reprogrammed? Is he Ultron? Mm-hmm. But well, given Jarvis's voice and stuff like that.
Well, the problem is, you know, obviously with the original Vision, there was no Jarvis computer.
Right,
so,
of course,
you know, it was kind of, you know, so it kind of gets it's muddy because
and that's a different thing of just adaptations are always going to change.
Right.
And I actually think turning Jarvis into an AI as opposed to having Tony be yet another billionaire hero with a sarcastic butler was a really good choice.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I'm one of the things like I kind of wish is we could have taken 5 minutes, and maybe we'll get this in the extended cut. 5 more minutes on the Vision. That's all. He was hands down my favorite.
There wasn't enough time for there wasn't enough time for the movie.
I would shorten a couple of the fight scenes because honestly, like as
fun as the fight scenes alone.
Just a little bit.
Leave the fight scene alone.
The scene where they were at the party was the best comic book scene I thought.
That I want to see more of in general.
And that felt so
superheroes hanging out.
That felt like the studio.
Everybody noticed that.
The wheel.
Cat moved the hammer.
Yeah, he did.
Black Widow didn't touch it because they both wielded the hammer in the comics. I love that the
Wait, who was that?
Black Widow didn't touch it because in the comics she wielded the hammer in that What If, and then Cat did touch it because he's wielded the hammer in the regular comic.
Yeah.
I love that they made a nod to such obscure things in the comics.
Yeah.
So subtly. And that's what the movie did right. And then that felt like the only time Joss Whedon had control.
Oh, yeah. There were so many, like, just subtle, obscure nods.
Yeah.
Even Helen Cho.
Amadeus Cho's mom.
Amadeus Cho is a boy genius who's a friend of the Hulk's in the comics.
Do we think that we'll ever see Amadeus Cho in any of the films?
I mean, if we were going to have a Hulk movie, I would say yes.
Yeah.
But since Universal still has part of the rights to that, I don't know.
Sense.
We might see him like in S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, you'll see him for a second, like, oh, one of our experts, Amadeus, here.
Was his name on the list? Yeah. His name wasn't on the list, was it?
I
read the list on in Cap 2.
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah, I don't.
Did you guys think that we didn't have, like, the end, the new Avengers scene was amazing, and, like, Cap setting that up. We all knew, kind of thought it was coming, and they needed it to happen, but we didn't have a single new character there, and we'd already announced Black Panther, we'd already cast Black Panther. I know he wanted Captain Marvel there, and I know he wanted Spider-Man there, but did anybody else find it kind of like a letdown that we didn't have a single new character?
A little bit.
When we could have?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like the whole movie was just these peaks and valleys with no higher peak. Like, it just never crescendoed to a new place.
Yeah.
I do find it weird that, like, we didn't get any of the, you know, flashes to the new characters, because I really felt that we could have had Black... And I thought Chadwick...
He's been cast for a long time.
No, but I know, but I thought he was on set at some point shooting.
They just couldn't find his suit.
Yeah. Well, he may have been. I mean,
there was the whole scene in the pool.
Yeah,
the whole thing was that the pool might have been in Wakanda.
Oh, I think Joss has even come out, or Feige. Someone came out a couple weeks ago on a news site and said, "Oh no, that we are going to address it. That is not what you think it is. It's just a girl in the pool." So they were they're at least like, "Hey, we don't want you speculating."
The Joss interview that he did with Empire, he said that that was actually a Norn. And that it got cut out.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Because he wanted, we talked about this earlier, he wanted Loki to be in that scene, along with Idris, and having that whole tie into that world of Ragnarok.
That was my biggest problem with the film. Like, ultimately, outside of, like, there just being, like, what is going, like, there is so much going on that I had to go see it a second time, which is not a bad problem, like, especially if you're in the business of making money. It's like,
studio, stop making me repeatedly watch your film.
Darn you! But, like, that was, like, one thing that really stood out to me was, why is Thor going to mystical hot tubs? Like, I don't understand. Like, why? Like,
I love how the whole thing about the movie was, there was so much, there was too much, there wasn't enough. There was so much, but there wasn't enough, and there was.
And that's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
like, and some people say, like, oh, we're going to get the director's cut and all, but I mean, like when I was a kid, like I loved director's cuts, but now like maybe coming at it differently from a writer, and you tell me what you think about this. I feel like sometimes director's cuts are seen as sort of like the band-aid to excuse certain things, because the fact is whatever you're doing, whether you're a TV writer, you're a novelist, whatever, you're given a certain length. It's your job to make it work in that length.
Yeah.
Now, again, this is not hating on Joss because he was working on a studio film. I think some people look at, well, it'll all be explained in the director's cut. Yeah. I kind of get annoyed by that.
Yeah,
like, well, it's got to be explained in this.
I mean, I think it's interesting you say that, because I think what is interesting to point out, at least, is that you've got a huge fan base of people who know the Marvel Universe.
Of course.
And then you've got an entirely huge separate segment of the population who just likes going to movies and don't know anything about the Marvel Universe. So they're trying to, I think, give some of the Marvel fans what they want. There's never going to be enough, obviously. And then they're also trying to make it palatable to a wider audience.
But I'm wondering who was more confused. You know what I mean? Like, the people that know the history and therefore are like, that's not quite right. Or the people that don't know the history are like, who is this?
What is going on here, Jerry?
Like, why is he on my screen?
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, there are friends of mine who they know that they've seen a magic stone in a couple of these Marvel films, and they were thinking that it was the same stone. Just like being cast around. Right. They didn't realize until here, oh, there are four of them. You know, because they haven't been taking notes.
While
and looking
we're on
the
subject
sites.
Of the gym, how disappointed are you guys that Vision has to die for Infinity War?
I know!
Does he know?
He has to. It's
does he?
Yeah.
Big spoiler.
We know. That, well, here's the thing. We know that the Mind Gem was instrumental in him being created.
Right.
But we don't know that it's instrumental in him existing.
That is true. Maybe his power source, much like his sword in the comic.
Yeah. I mean, but that gave him the, you know, that just gave him the ability
well,
that to
gave
that
him life.
Major,
yeah,
it's not necessarily going to kill him.
I mean, in the MCU, nobody actually dies
right. I mean, it's going to do something negative to him, of course.
Right.
Who knows?
I mean, it's
probably
just
like decrease his power.
Right.
Like, yeah. I feel like they just don't kill people. Like, Quicksilver's going to be an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. next to Coulson. Like,
is he drinking a beer?
He's an 80-year-old Irishman in my mind.
But it's comics. You don't kill anybody.
Right, right.
You don't kill anyone in the Joss Whedon story.
Except for short people, right?
Oh. Wow, what a bring.
Just
made about hate.
It's Spider-Gwen.
Yeah. And Uncle Ben, Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. Everybody
was back. Yeah, everybody
okay.
was back.
People were asking what our favorite joke was from the film.
I think the Hawkeye one where, like,
where he almost killed Quicksilver.
And he's like,
I could do it.
No one would know.
I thought that was really good. Funny.
I loved Hawkeye and Quicksilver's relationship.
It's pretty
cool.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
And until the, can we, I guess, spoiler alert. It killed me because when Quicksilver died, Hawkeye just kind of like languidly passes out, like, I'm just going to take a nap. And I'm like, I felt.
Well, he named his kid Pietro.
I know, which I thought was awesome. Yeah.
Quicksilver dying.
Felt
weak to me.
Wait.
He's
running in front of a train, just wiping people back and forth, grabbing people with super speed, moving them way out of the way of this train, but these bullets.
He was tired.
Yep.
I was just like, I know somebody had to die, but
I immediately wondered, and I have no basis to believe this because I haven't been in the discussions, but because Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch have been a gray area between Marvel and Fox,
right.
And Fox used their version of Quicksilver, but not Scarlet Witch. And I was wondering if the deal is Marvel can only use Scarlet Witch.
No, I don't think that's
true. I
don't know. I was wondering if this was a sacrifice that they're not allowed to use him after this movie.
I don't know if they weren't allowed to, but I think because Fox's Quicksilver was so well received, I think there might have just been like, maybe we just don't want to even bother.
Which is interesting because I actually preferred this version of Quicksilver as a character. Because
as a character, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, because Fox's Quicksilver, I mean, I'm looking at this from a writer's standpoint. He's too damn fast, where he would be a cure-all for so many of their problems.
Yeah, he's a panacea. Yeah.
And the other thing is, he was rebellious for being a rebel. He was a rebel without a cause, he was a smart-ass, which was entertaining and charming, whereas this Quicksilver...
It's not much of a character, though. It's kind of a two-dimensional splash.
It's a different kind of character, where, like, maybe he has other levels, maybe he loves butterflies, we don't know.
Yeah.
But this version of Quicksilver, like, had trauma, he had a lost parents, he had a sister he was really looking out for, and was someone who could acknowledge, wait, we've gone too far. I wanted to rebel against this person, but you want to endanger other people, which is the whole point I was fighting against.
Yeah.
I was just going to say real quick is that, and that was kind of the biggest reason I had with them choosing to kill him off versus Hawkeye, which in the original plan was to kill off Hawkeye, is that we didn't really, we got to see Quicksilver as this bad guy and maybe like a hot second of him being a good guy.
He got Hawkeye'd in this movie.
Yeah.
He got Hawkeye'd.
Oh!
From the first movie?
I get it.
No, I got it.
It just like bummed.
I see what you did.
Yeah. It just bummed me out because I really wanted to grow to like this character, and I felt it was a really meaningless death.
One of the first things they said, though, was about his rapid healing regeneration. They really did make sure they talked about that in the very beginning.
And another thing is they literally filmed it
because, like, I just pictured Disney being like, wait, we gotta make sure we're gonna take it from living.
Well, also, they had the cradle. It was right around there. Why can't they just stuck him in the cradle?
Maybe he'll show up in the Inhumans.
Yeah.
He'll show up at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and just be like, hanging out.
I'm sorry, real quick. Where are you?
I was in Bermuda. It's a magical place.
I think that their reason for hating the Avengers was stronger than Ultron's. That bothered me less. Their reason for being bad guys was incredible, whereas Ultron's reason just felt really, like, hackneyed. So therefore, like, I was, like, rooting for those bad guys. Mm-hmm. And then Ultron was the big bad, and I was like, eh.
Ultron, in some ways, was created to hate the Avengers. Like, strangely, you know?
Like, honestly, the only logical solution to humanity is annihilation.
It makes sense.
Starting with the short people.
if you really look at, you know, just humanity as a whole, if you're taking it to the nth level, mm-hmm. the only logical...
We're a virus, for sure.
Yeah.
I agree, it was illogical.
But, I mean, I think we've seen that in every sci-fi movie, so it felt less Marvel-important.
Let's talk more about genocide, guys.
I want to ask, what did you guys like about it?
I loved... how, with really only two scenes where he was talking more than a quick remark, the Vision stood out as such a character. You had such this beautiful idea of someone who is almost omnipotent compared to the others, but really innocent and naive, and even makes the joke when he's called naive, like, mm-hmm. "Well, I was born yesterday." It was,
and
lovely.
That was like the only real joke that he had, like, and it was such a good one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it was so much fun, like seeing him, like, yes, he's based on Jarvis, but he's not Jarvis. He is a new being who's been born. I thought that was
kind of very well.
He could banter with Thor about, like, the Mjolnir was made, and just the weight of it, and even saying, like, you know, humanity is doomed and terribly flawed, but a thing isn't beautiful because it's unflawed and not doomed. I was like, this is wonderful. Yeah. Like, I thought that was fantastic. I loved Hawkeye's whole thing, because also in the ultimate Marvel version of things, where he does have a family, the family was basically put up there so they could die and traumatize, which is fridging.
When I saw Hawkeye's family, I was like, oh, don't.
Yeah, I was like, don't fridge them.
Don't
fridge them. Don't just bring up the, now it's personal, and I really have to stop the bad guy I was going to stop anyway. Like, and I was glad that they didn't. That
they were actually just life. It was great.
Yeah, and that you were able to, and what I loved was how the others reacted to that. Like, how Tony was just taken aback that S.H.I.E.L.D. agents could have lives outside of S.H.I.E.L.D., which sort of harkens back to him joking that Phil Coulson doesn't have a first name. His first name is Agent. I love that there were little touches going back to the earlier story, like the Hulk, Banner, and Black Widow talk about kids. Now, I have different feelings about Black Widow's sterilization. I thought that was handled oddly, but...
I want to address that at some point once you're done.
Well, I understand what the intention was, and that it was about that she had agency taken away from her and she had choice taken away from her. The line does sort of land. It can absolutely be interpreted as I'm less of a woman by being sterilized, or I'm monstrous by being, which is frankly an issue that some people have been having, where, like, they're trying to get sterilized and they're being told no, but you don't know anything because you're a woman.
Can I actually? I'm going to come out with something private on this. I cannot have children. I had a really terrible health issue. I cannot have children. I'm pretty much sterilized. When that happened, I felt, for the first time, I actually connected with Black Widow. And I was like, because, you know, being a, you know, early 30s woman, entering into a relationship, having previous relationships, having been dumped because I couldn't have children, really did make me feel like a monster. And for the first time, I felt like, holy crap, they're tackling a topic that no one outside of me that I've ever spoken with has ever felt this way. And I suddenly, like, saw so much into her, and I loved it. And I totally understand why women who maybe don't actually have that issue might, you know, not really relate to it, but to sit there and say, like, oh, that's, you know, patriarchy making her feel like a monster. It's like, no, when you have that choice taken away from you, it really does make you feel like less of a human.
And I wanted more from her about that. It was brought up and done so quickly.
And maybe there's more.
I think that's why it landed differently for different people. And I think that's why, like, again, which is, like I said, so many other parts of the movies, I wanted a little more exploration. Even just a couple extra sentences could have made different things more clear.
But I just saw so much like rage about Black Widow and Joss because of that particular scene where I'm like, to me, that was the most humanizing scene of her, because I get so tired for female characters that females aren't allowed to be vulnerable and also be strong. Right. Like, it's not about like, oh, I have my period, I can't fight today. But, you know, I'm a woman and I face unique problems that only women will have. You guys, you know, while men might be impotent, it's different because you don't have the programming to carry a child. And to have them deal with her femininity in such a raw way, I've never seen that really tackled.
That's
and
amazing.
I,
that you got that out of that.
And then also, right here, we came at it with different ideas.
Yeah.
We're having a discussion about it. Which is what the internet needs to learn how to freaking do.
Please.
Because there were so many people...
Just scream over people like I'm doing right now until everybody listens. No! You have to listen to me! Yeah. I'm right!
He's an I love that we can have this discussion and we can say, look, we saw it from different views, but we also get what each other saw about it. Which is what you should be able to do with entertainment, especially when it's about weird people in bizarre costumes fighting each other. But I mean, also what I really liked about that scene on Banner's side was him bringing up kids, because in Avengers 1, when he first meets Black Widow, he makes a remark about what the Hulk has cost him, and he gently touches an empty crib nearby. And it was just this little nod back to that I love that we went to.
It's a little bits like that that made me really love the movie so much. And it makes me glad that, you know, I'm like, all right, when I first walked away from it, I was like, I don't know about this. But then I went back and I was like, no, there's a lot of camaraderie.
And actually what we mentioned earlier, the care about civilians and the acknowledgement of damage that will be done even while you are fighting, justifiably fighting bad guys.
That you created.
But even like the very first scene, you know, he's just like, uh-oh, Strucker doesn't care about civilians. Bring in the drones. You know, wasn't maybe the best idea to freak people out with robots. And then later those robots
turn
evil.
But you know what? Those are living people who are protected by robots. You know, in that case, I'm okay with a little outrage. You'd be mad, but you'll be alive.
The robots
But it is a good point that, like, they at least addressed it. Where, and I hate to bring up Man of Steel, and I don't want to get hate for it, but, like, all they really needed was a line from a cop saying, we've cleared the area. Done.
Right. My version for this was, I love that they approached all the characters that felt shorted in the last film as the leads, and they interestingly handled the leads as supporting characters, which was the also my negative. Robert Downey Jr. felt very out of place, which is a first for me ever in any movie, except maybe The Judge. And I really liked that they approached it as a team film from the word go. Like, it didn't feel like this cliche, like, we have to fight sometimes. Like, when they fought, it made sense, and that party scene was like, it's the most I've ever felt like I was watching a comic play out. Like, every time they changed angles, it looked like a new panel from a comic. Like,
really,
everyone felt there for a right reason. Stan Lee's cameo is the best it's ever been. That Excelsior line.
And he is a vet.
It was amazing.
And he actually is.
He and Cap's co-creator, Jack Kirby.
The movie
Kirby,
felt like a love letter to comics in a way I've never seen handled so well, but the editing felt like the worst editing of important things I'd ever seen, so I was really torn because it was an A script and an A execution of what was on screen, but D-minus execution of editing and what was cut, because it felt like you lost half of your heart in watching what we got. Well, like, the Thor section was could have been a whole movie. The Vision could have been a whole movie, but because they had to put it all together, it felt like I was just like...
And like the Thor thing, like, which is like the thorn in my side. Like, they had like three or four other scenes with Selvig, and like, I was like, Thor's like, I've got to go see someone, and he takes off, and then he goes see Selvig. I'm like, oh, he's going to talk physics, and it's like, oh, they're talking mystical, mythological stuff.
Because he's cheaper day rate.
Selvig is an expert in this, I guess, and now they're going to go to a bath and have a vision?
They've never done this before.
What?
Selvig in the first Thor movie had to look up who Loki was, because he vaguely remembered the myth and the fairy tale.
scale. But
let's go from a logical point of view, though, right? Yeah. You're a physicist. All that crazy crap happens. Of course, you're going to go ahead and do your research.
Yeah, of course.
You're right.
From a physicist, and all of a sudden, somebody proves the existence of magic. You know, a god comes and like,
years,
hey, by the way, well, yeah, I'm going to.
That's a fair point.
I'm going to do a little study now. I'm going to know a few things about Earth that maybe you know I didn't know before.
Well, doesn't Thor even go say, "I'm going to go see like the expert on this to like kind of establish"? I feel like he said a line.
He says something.
Yeah, that kind of establishes that maybe.
At points, everyone felt like they went back to their own movie, which felt really strange. Because Avengers 1, I really think, is the best culmination of five different genres. Like, that last episode I was on, I was talking about how each Avengers movie separately feels like a different genre, and I love that they did that.
Right.
This felt less like a perfect mix, and felt more like, we're in this scene, which is Thor's movie, and this scene, which is Cap's movie, and it felt a little disjointed. But when they were all together, it was the best. It was the best comedy I've ever seen.
One of the best lines was like when he and Tony are fighting, and he's like, "I want to build a suit of armor around the world. How do you want to fight this?"
Yes,
and together. And he's like, "Well, what if we lose? Then we do that together too." Mm-hmm. It was like
that was all.
That's what this movie is about. That's what this is about. It's the fight over that. You know,
it was so close. To
and again, even like the first movie, you had Cap, who kind of reminds us to embrace the absurdity of things, because he's like, so your brother is coming with a big army of space aliens. Okay. And here we have Hawkeye, who's dealing with Scarlet Witch. And Scarlet Witch, I thought, was beautifully handled throughout this thing as someone who's, again, dealing with trauma, who's a powerhouse but not inherently a warrior. And what I love is that when she's freaking out, Hawkeye basically tells her that that's okay. If you're not a warrior, if you're not doing this, okay, you just got to be honest with me. And he brings up that great, again, embrace absurdity line of like, hey, the city's flying.
That's
we're fighting robots.
And
I got arrows.
None of this makes sense.
That was
a great line.
That was my favorite line.
But again, he acknowledges like you're going through this traumatic experience right now. You're afraid, and if you need to sit out, that is okay. You are not weaker because of this. You are not bad because of this. But if you do come out, you got to bring it. And I thought that was a great speech, a great acknowledgement of her. And then that also makes it, not that Hawkeye has saved her, that does make it her hero, her choice.
Well, and that's, you know, something I loved Scarlet Witch's characterization from beginning to end.
Yeah.
I was so pleased. And I saw some people online saying, like, oh, she's not that weak. She's so strong and prepossessed. I'm like, she's a freaking 16-year-old kid in this. Like,
also, she was that weak for, like, the first 15 years.
She's
of
really
Avengers.
Actually
she's
fragile.
Opening up for the first time, which was amazing.
She got these powers a year ago, Max.
Maybe you should calm down and let her develop.
Yeah. And that's what I loved about it, is that we get to see Scarlet Witch year one. We get to see her grow into what ultimately destroys the X-Men.
We don't have to worry about.
Yeah, but we don't have to worry about. And that was something like I felt Age of Ultron did extremely well was handling both the twins.
Oh, is Scarlet Witch going to destroy the Inhumans?
Oh.
That'd be amazing.
House of
that
I.
That would be awesome.
She did have her little Dark Phoenix moment.
Yeah, which was so awesome.
That was so cool. When Quicksilver died.
I worry that we've acknowledged like in Avengers 1 that we left out those two characters. In this movie, they focus on those two characters. Like, and the internet's still really upset. I feel like there's no way to please all seven characters.
No.
So we really need to appreciate the fact that we got a Hawkeye Scarlet Witch movie that was so good. So thank you, Joss.
Yeah, that was really awesome.
Come back.
Well, there was definitely so much more right with this movie than there was wrong with it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There was too much movie, but there wasn't enough movie. That's really
not a bad call.
I'd watch a 3.5-hour cut. I'd be so happy.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the only scene where I thought like you made a mistake here, and that's again, this is a storytelling preference. It's not an obvious mistake or anything. Was when he kidnaps Ultron, takes Scarlet Witch, and brings her over basically to be an audience. And it was like, all right,
Black Widow. You mean?
I mean, sorry,
Black Widow.
Black Widow. I meant, And Black Widow was already, she sort of had a damsel-y moment in Avengers 1, even though she came out of that. And this was sort of a damsel-y moment again. Like they've kidnapped Black Widow. But what really pushed over the top of you shouldn't have done this to me was I thought it would have been such a better conversation if it had been Captain America captured by Ultron, because you have these two characters who are both meant to be evolved from humanity.
Yeah, that would be great.
And they're both Frankenstein monsters.
Yeah, there was no reason for it to be Black Widow.
Right. Whereas with Captain America, I could see him saying, like, don't you get I'm the next you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm better, I'm the same idea that you were.
And the ultimate optimism.
I'm supposed to end
pessimism.
War.
Yeah.
I would have loved that.
I agree.
I would have loved a conversation about Cap like defending humanity while he assaulted humanity.
Exactly.
That would have been amazing.
They're both
the problem is they don't have a secondary person that could have been the leader besides Tony, who they didn't want to put in that position because
I would have made Black Widow that person.
That would have worked.
I would have made Black Widow because she's led the Avengers in the comics. I totally. And then the end, she and Cap are the two people who are whipping the Avengers into shape. Mm-hmm. I think you would have set that up nicely if she had become...
You shot that completely. You were like, really?
I know.
Do you think they consciously took Tony Stark down a couple pegs because he's going to be more of an antagonist in the second one? Because they realized...
It's possible. We need to start wrapping it up.
We're over
an hour. Well, so, just letting you know.
The whole setup of New Avengers base.
Well, yeah.
You know that's setting up camps.
Versus
Avengers Tower, which will be Tony Stark's camp.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if Hawkeye died, that means we would have gotten Kate.
Maybe.
I would have liked Kate to be the new Hawkeye.
But we can still get
Do you think when Downey Jr. signed... Because this was going to be his last movie. Do you think that when he signed on to more, they were like, we could give more... flavor to other because well, I just feel like he was so
but and RDJ has been usually good about making sure his co-hosts or his co-stars get the time so he might even have chosen to take a step back.
So what's the over under that he quits after the first Infinity War, because he's quit the Avengers after every Avengers movie. There's a reoccurring theme of quitting for Tony Stark. He's like, you know what? I'm not doing Avengers. I'm not doing Iron Man anymore.
He's like, not even
one. All right, one more. One more.
Okay. All right. Final thoughts.
Do you have any questions?
Tony Stark did not die. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is a takeaway.
Based on every, do you have questions? Like,
no, I mean it's really interesting though because people want to stay away from spoiler alerts and things like that. I am so much more interested in seeing this film now than I was 25 minutes ago, a half hour ago.
Wow.
So.
Did you hear that, Marvel?
What I really need to do is though go with like a whole bunch of like comic book.
Oh yeah, you've got to go nerd.
I'm supposed to see it again this weekend with the Gold people. I'll see it with you, man.
Sweet, man.
All right, the after dinner.
He's the one who to go
movie.
See it with.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
He knows it all. And
on that note, I should say go to themarysue.com. Either today or tomorrow, I've got annotations on the entire film going up there.
Yeah. Final thought for Age of Ultron.
That it, in the long form, might be my favorite Marvel movie, but is it in its short form was like my sixth favorite Marvel movie, and I expected like it to be higher ranked. And I think that the only reason I didn't like it more was because how good Phase 2 was. Like, I think Daredevil and Cap were the best things to happen to Marvel, and this felt a little let down, but the long cut might be amazing, and thanks, Joss.
Overall grade, Koi.
Overall
grade B+.
B+. Okay, that's
still
possible.
Strong.
Yeah.
I wish Falcon had been in that last fight scene.
Me too.
That suit was sweet.
That showed the red wings. The fact that he's looking more like the comic book character now. I wish we had like a Netflix Avengers miniseries just to see this new Avengers team rock out by itself before we immediately throw them into Civil War and Infinity
destroy
War.
Them. Yeah. Right.
So and the Thanos ending scene is odd because you've got a different. Version of the gauntlet,
the whole
and it's not
thing,
Odin's fault. So that's are the two of them now? Was there an earlier gauntlet? Like we don't.
Yeah.
So we'll
there's
find
a right
out.
Hand in Odin's vault. He's got a left hand.
I hope someone challenged him.
There's
honestly
he's got
of all
a pair
the
of, gauntlets.
of all the mid credit scenes you could have. Thanos picking up a glove was not what I would have done.
But it was a fun. Like,
I would have
myself. That was fun.
I would have had like Doctor Strange be like, they don't even know what's happening over here.
I wore my Doctor Strange dying, like getting sucked into the jaws of death shirt on purpose because he was not in the film.
And or like Adam Warlock showing up and being like, this Vision guy seems cool. Just something. The other artificial human who has a gem.
Amazing.
Like, you know?
Nice.
He's got the soul gem. They're like, hey, our gems can kill.
Hey, bro.
Hang out.
Did you have a favorite moment you want to talk about, or final thought, something you wish they'd had? Anything?
It's you know what it was. It's Marvel with Cap too. They really hit the thing of make an excellent genre movie and then stick superhero stuff on top of it.
Yeah.
And the problem with this is there was no base genre to base it off of to stick the superhero stuff
That's
on top
point.
Of that would have been. I mean, it was kind of almost a disaster movie, but there's too much character for it to be a disaster movie because disaster movies are usually short on character.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There was really no base film genre to throw the Avengers on top of that will then make you go, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
So they had to kind of step outside.
It's okay.
Messing with their mic. They had to kind of step outside what they've established as their, you know, really, okay, this is where it works and this is where we're going to live.
Yeah.
You know, so they kind of had to step outside that with that. And that's why I think we were so.
Just trying to
with it,
I think
yes,
I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, so you know, because I mean, Cap 2 is just, you know, and then they Daredevil, right there. It was a legal drama where you did some superheroes.
Yeah.
You know, so as long as you stay into that, even Guardians of the Galaxy, space opera with superheroes on them, you know, minorly, kind of. But, you know, but it's that kind of thing of
hit the genre
hard, throw superheroes on
the icing of a superhero,
and then you win every time,
so and make it palatable to people who aren't the biggest fans.
Well, exactly. That's the other thing. It shouldn't be made exclusively for the thousands who read comics. It needs to be made for the millions who haven't read comics.
Unfortunately,
I need to go ahead and see it three times for it to make sense.
Yes,
Meredith.
You know, like I said, it was a fun movie. I could have done with 5 minutes shaved off of a fight scene here and there, and five more Vision minutes, but I love the Vision. Also, I saw someone in the chat room earlier said Ultron's lips. Yes, those are the creepiest things about Ultron. Did not like those lips. You know, but overall,
the lips was the creepiest thing, not the genocide.
No, just the lips.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm used to robot genocide.
I was going to say robot genocide, but robot lips, new and creepy.
What did we not learn from Transformers? Right?
Though I will say, a light bulb went off in my head with because we've been trying to figure out if they're going to follow Civil War in the suit of having, you know, how are they going to do without the mutants who blow up the city? What if it's new Avengers who screw up and cause something?
It could just be someone saying, hey, Hulk and Tony kind of messed up the city.
I mean, I think we kind of have that already.
The entire city got ripped out of the planet.
Well, I think there's probably going to be something going on in Ant-Man, too, that's going to fuel that even more. Right. And a new, I think there might be a new synopsis for Civil War that says there is a bigger event that happens in Civil War.
I thought them pulling up the city was going to be Stanford. I thought that was the situation.
That's what I thought, too.
I thought they were going to drop it and then
Stanford,
and I was like,
then it didn't.
In any event, there's going to be someone in the government or the UN who says, you know what, Stark and Banner made this robot army by accident. Yeah, they need to answer for that. Yeah. There needs to be a committee. Yeah. Congress needs to talk about what's
And Maria
going
Hill's
on.
Already was already kind of saying some of that towards the end of the film.
Exactly. So we're already getting that set up.
Yeah.
And then my last thought was just kind of the CG in the opening scene. It really, I didn't get a chance to touch on how much that bothered me. I loved how everyone fought together and beautiful. How like wonderful they worked together. But man, that CG just it's still. For the budget on this film, I'm kind of like,
it kind of pulls you out of the fight.
It does.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go out of the open because you're like, I'm just starting this movie. Wait, watch the cartoon? Live action. Cartoon, live action. Okay, people are talking.
And I get maybe they're trying to go for a comic book feel, but they haven't done that
ever.
So, you
know. It's like 2012's Avengers CG, but we've evolved past it.
So
still a great movie.
You know what? I will say, hey, I never thought 10 years ago I'd be getting here to both criticize and applaud an Avengers movie on screen.
With Ultron and Vision.
So, you know, for the flaws this movie could have had, I'm glad we have it, and it makes me even more excited for what's to come out.
So my thoughts were I'm sick and tired of not having Doctor Strange in the film.
Do you like Doctor Strange?
No, what's that?
Do you like Doctor Strange?
He's my favorite.
No idea.
Sick and tired.
Who's heard of this?
Dear Marvel.
Burning Man. I was kind of let down by that, honestly, even though it's like a stupid little thing. I was like, but that's my guy. There was that one scene where they, it was Stark and Thor and Vision, and they're like Vision is hovering in the air, and the gem is like when they're shooting Ultron. I would like, that's when I was like, I'm watching an Avengers movie. Oh my god, that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like, because you know, Iron Man's doing his thing, Thor's lighting him up with lightning, and then it's Vision like shooting with a mind gem.
What am I watching?
That just happened.
Like, even in your conception of the Avengers movie, the Vision with the mind gem at Ultron was never there.
And
I defy anybody to say differently.
And the part where like War Machine's flying around and Iron Man's like, Rhodey, we've got some stragglers. He's like, I'm on it. And he takes off after him. And then the Vision just like very casually flies by shooting when he's like, what the...
And Rhodey's new suit being just like the comic, like the It was like Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit, in a good movie.
But like the only time that you saw Vision's phasing really was in that one sequence where he's flying through the air and he
I've heard it wasn't so phasing, cool. It was phasing.
No, it was totally phasing.
That was
totally phasing.
It's like, that was a punch.
Oh yeah, that was phasing.
Yeah,
that was totally phasing.
Don't take the phasing away from me.
I didn't know the phasing.
Do not take the phasing away from me. I love that the scene like where like it was like this weird 3D like moving around them like while they're all fighting around them, that like that was cool. Like there was so much right with the film. I just I couldn't get over the whole Thor
There was too much film. There wasn't
thing.
Enough film.
The priorities seemed a little off.
Yeah.
I think that's the big takeaway, is that the priorities, like, it was, Joss wants to do the farmhouse scene with Hawkeye, and
he had to fight for
and
that.
He had to
scene.
Fight for that, and that was some of the
and
best
that,
stuff.
That was the heart. That was where, but, like, this is the heart of the film. Okay, this is where we come together.
I think maybe this is like some of the biggest weak spots that we've seen with Feige. Like the first signs of weakness with him, where he's like really pushing for Infinity War at the sake of. The detriment of this one, where he's
it
like,
was very much
you've got to have the Norm Stone, you've got to have Infinity stuff, you've got to have the well. And then Joss is like holding, as the director, he's the holder of the tone and the story. And he's
all
like,
the plates.
That doesn't make sense. And they're like, you've got to have it in there.
This should have been a combination of Phase 2 instead of a setup for Infinity War. It shouldn't have been
very
cool.
That's exactly what it is.
That's what it is.
Instead of a setup for another film.
It should have been,
that's what Avengers is.
It should have been the Empire Strikes Back, not the holiday special.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh. I'm kidding.
All right.
That's damning.
Way over time. We would like to thank Damien and Matthew for being on. Mm-hmm. Matthew,
thank you for having me.
You've got Tomorrowland. iZombie. When is Tomorrowland coming out?
May 22nd. My first episode of iZombie is, I believe, May 19th.
Oh, that's going to be a solid week for you, man.
Yeah, it's like pretty sweet. And I don't know if anybody is a Soska Sisters fan. They did American Mary. They are doing Vendetta, which is another movie that I'm in.
Oh, nice.
So that's coming out pretty soon. Dean Cain, the big show. Pretty big.
It's a good year for you, man.
It's okay. And I get to be on Marvel Movie News.
That's
the best thing.
I mean,
that's
the highlight of any year.
Yeah, it's the highlight of my week. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the only pay I get. That I get to do it. So thank you for being on the show so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Damien, what have you got going on?
I can't talk about anything. Wait, Payday. I'm still doing a lot of stuff on the Payday video game. I'm
video game,
the voice and live actor for Chains for most of the stuff. So that I can talk about. And that's all I can talk about.
Yeah. All right.
I can't.
All
right. I'm going to be going places and shooting things soon.
I can't. You remember can't this say. Moment in the
yeah.
future.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go do something about. Cool that I can't tell you I'm going to do. Okay. And there's other cool yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Something cool.
Right? Something's happening.
Something dark side.
Well, we don't have time to do the Wizard World question of the month. We'll do that next week. So if you're listening to the show now and you want to win Wizard World tickets, listen next week. We're going to have a great question for you.
That one guy that's just yes. he's watching is like, what?
He's like, well, guys, like,
are you kidding me? I spent 80 minutes in India.
Alan, do you have anything you want to talk about? You pitched Mary Sue. Is anything else going on?
Not at the moment. I mean, you and I have a project that we're working on, but we can't talk about that quite yet. And
something else is happening.
More stuff is happening.
The MarySue.com, and you can always find archives of my work at alankistler.com or follow me on Twitter, where I am very active as at Sizzler Kistler.
Yeah, Koi?
It's almost to June, July, where I can start talking about the stuff I've hinted at forever. I cut the man bun because of that project, so the man bun's gone. It's been a whole Twitter thing. I've enjoyed.
No. Thank God the man bun's gone.
I know, those just assaulting our fans. And I'm down on at Koi Jandro, and you guys are awesome. I love reading this comments and stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Guys, I can be really cool and say I did a thing that I can't talk about yet this morning. So, I did a thing, and I'm
We've
really happy. I know, but I've never gotten to do a thing that I can't talk about, so it was neat, and I had a lot of fun. And I can't wait to talk about it. But I can talk about a ton of other things on Twitter because all I ever do is talk on Twitter.
At tell me Placco. About it.
I know. I never shut up.
Oh, that reminds me, too. I'm at Matthew McCall.
Oh, okay.
And McCall is M-A-C-C-A-U-L.
Two L's.
Two L's.
Two C's, two A's,
spell
two L's.
Spell it again. Spell it out.
Spell it out.
M-A-C-C-A-U-L-L.
Boom. All right. We got it.
Thank you.
I am Matt Key at The Matt Key, and we've got everyone else. All right. Well, that's our show. Special thanks to our prize sponsor, Wizard World Conventions. They're in Philadelphia this weekend for the big show where they've got David Tennant, Billy Piper, Haley Atwell, a lot of other people. St. Louis from May 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Then they're going to China.
What?
Ooh, that's cool.
Going to China. Brittany doesn't get to go to China. Sorry. But if you are a fan listening in China, Wizard World is coming to you. Then they're back in America for Des Moines, following China with Des Moines, June 12th through 14th. Please don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Marvel Movie News. Rate us. Leave us a comment because it keeps us coming back to you. Same with YouTube through Popcorn Talk Network. Comment, thumb up. Keep us coming back. We are on Facebook / Marvel News Show, or find us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN. That's our show. Thank you for joining us.
Future Link.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in.
For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily reflect views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.